Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's a great day when we can say that on the Lord's Day. Great time to be together. What a great day to worship. It's not that Jesus is coming. He has come. He is here. And we are thankful for that this Christmas morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We're so thankful that you were able to be a part of worship today. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you would please take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it reaches that last person, when you're done, please send it back in. First person, when it comes back to you, please help us tear out the pages that are used today. And ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. We have beautiful poinsettias, whatever. Christmas plants are here. And we're excited that they beautify the sanctuary. If you purchase one of those, you are welcome to pick them up today. Thank you for adding to the Advent season. A couple of schedule notes. Office will be closed tomorrow for the Christmas holiday. Office will be open Tuesday through Friday, but it will be closed tomorrow. No Wednesday night activities. Next Sunday is January the 1st. We'll have an adjustment to our schedule because of that. At 10:30 in Smith Hall, there will be biscuits. We want you to come and enjoy those. And then at 11 o'clock in Smith Hall will be a combined worship. So we hope that you will come and be a part of that service as well. We are having children's time, so inviting all the kids, preschool through sixth grade, come down here. I have something maybe for you. So come talk to me for just a moment after the song of praise in just a moment. Jason.
Good morning. And Merry Christmas. I'm standing here this morning to share some good news because today is a day of sharing good news. My name is Jason Cogdell, and I'm the chairman of the personnel committee for the church, and most recently also serving on the search committee for our recently adopted position of minister of senior adults and family recreation. As a word of context, this is a new position that was established and approved by the church back in October that effectively replaces two previous positions, the minister of senior adults position, which happens to be near and dear to my own heart, and was most recently filled by Krista Warris, who left at the end of August to be pastor at Westside Baptist here in town, and then also the family ministry associate position, which was a year-round intern position working with families and in recreation. The church adopted this new position in October. We established a search committee to start looking for that position. And when we started our work in October, when I stood in front of the church at the business meeting, what I said was that night that it's not very exciting, as some of you have experienced, to deal with job descriptions and theoretical possibilities. But what is exciting is to attach people to those positions. And that's what I can do this morning. Because as our committee started its work in October with the goal of finding the right person for this unique and creative position, maybe that's the best word for it. We wanted to find someone who was unique, who was qualified, who wanted to come and do this for our church and address two needs that are very important to College Park: senior adults, which is just vital to the life and ministry of this church, and then also recreation, which is maybe our area of ministry need that's trending upward, for lack of a better description. So we wanted to find the right person, someone who was unique and qualified. I would like to tell you that our qualified committee, which by the way includes not only myself, but Bill Clapp, Robin Godwin, Charles Edwards, Anita Hatchett, Carolyn Matthews, Karen Leffler, Matt Hamby, and David Matthews. It's a distinguished group, as you can tell. I would like to tell you that we did some incredible work and we scoured the ends of the earth to find the right candidate. But the truth is, God delivered that candidate to us and made this maybe the easiest search committee process that College Park has ever had. One committee member referred to this process as providential, and I think that says it well. because not long after we started our work, we learned of the interest of a member of the College Park family, and that's Matt Wilson, who many of you know. Matt grew up at College Park, served as interim youth minister before Jeff came in 2004, served as youth intern for 2 years after that, was ordained here in 2010. Over the last 10 years, Matt, who's a young man and a great minister, Matt has served three churches in Central and Eastern North Carolina. He's very experienced, very polished. Those of you who know Matt know he has a lot of energy and gifts for the service of God. But in particular, he has great relational skills, a great heart for senior adult ministry. And he's also got a lot of skill and ability in the recreation area, which will serve him well, not only in designing recreational activities for our church, but also managing the gym facility, which is a significant need of ours. So our committee is beyond excited to bring Matt to the church as a candidate for this new position, and we're so excited. I think this is going to be just an unbelievable era of new ministry at College Park through the work that God will do through Matt. As a word about process, a letter has gone out to the church sometime in the past week. If you haven't received that, you will in the mail soon. Matt is going to visit here on Wednesday, January the 4th, our first Wednesday back. We're going to have a meet and greet for him sometime in the afternoon. Details to come on that. And then he's going to be present that night for me to introduce him and for him to introduce himself to the group in Smith Hall. And then he will be present again on Sunday, January the 8th, when we will vote to approve Matt, and so he can start on that relatively soon. So I wanted to share the good news with you. Please be in prayer for Matt in this potential upcoming transition. And I'd like to thank all the committee members for their great time and effort. And it's a blessing to be able to stand here and share that news with you. Thanks. Merry Christmas.
When does the chairman of personnel get an ovation? That is good work. That is, usually it comes from the staff. That is where the ovation comes from. We want to say a very special welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you for your presence this day. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information you gave on the pew pad a moment ago. We'd like to give something to you. So just right where you are, if you're a guest, just raise your hand. Our ushers will recognize you. They'll find you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, it'll be a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. As we begin our time of worship, I invite you to open your bulletin to our call to worship. It is a responsive call to worship. I will read the light print and invite you to read the dark print. Would you stand with me? Arise, shine, for your light has come.
The glory of the Lord has risen upon us.
Let us praise the Lord together.
The sun shall no longer be our light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine upon us.
For the Lord will be our light, and our God will be our glory.
The Lord will be our everlasting light, and our days of sorrow will end.
Come, let us sing to our light and salvation.
Sing and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Unspeakable joy rises in my soul, never lets me go.
Is anybody else tired like me? Oh, you're hungry? Well, Pastor Raymond may be able to fix that later. All right, come on, Ashley. Come, you sit right here, sweetheart. You sit right here. Okay, now, what was your number one favorite thing that you got? Number one, a picture of me. No, I know. That's a really good present. You didn't get that? No. Okay. All right. Tell me, what's your number one favorite present that you got today? You got a drum set? That's what I heard. I heard it from the other side of Pofftown. Okay. I mean, there's always, that's what happens on Christmas morning, right? He's not in there. Sorry, Dylan. Dylan thought Jesus was here. All right. He's here, but he's not in there. All right. So what I want you to remember, he's not in here. He's got a little bag. Dylan, this is going downhill quick. All right. What I want you to remember, while you're playing with your toys and you're wearing your stuff, I want you to be thankful for whoever gave you those presents. But I want you to remember the greatest gift of all was Jesus. Okay? And I give these out every Christmas, because they remind me, whenever I see these, they remind me that it is Christmas. They remind me that it's time for us to always be thankful for the greatest present of all. Can you help me do that? And I wanted to give you all those this morning, because usually I hold on them till later, and these people take them before y'all get them. So, you've already gotten your candy cane, right? You're straight. Okay, now y'all can ask me for candy canes now. All right? So, can you be thankful today? For the number one thing is Jesus. All right? And you got a big surprise. Well, let's pray, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you that you remind us in the giving of gifts, how great that is. Sometimes it's just in our heart, we want something else. But you gave us that something else that takes the place of all of our presence, and that's Jesus. Help us to remember today, tomorrow, and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. Get back to you soon.
Can we pray, please? Dear Jesus, we know that you hear our prayer. Thank you for Christmas, to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. We are blessed beyond measure to be here today and are thankful for blessings too many to count. Our offering is for your glory. We pray you will accept and use it in your will. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected, a child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing our gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure, and myrrh for the cross he'll suffer. Do you believe? Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me.
Generally, in the 9 o'clock service, we have a video playing during this awkward pause right here. I'm getting a lot of feedback, Barry, I think on this, maybe on the secondary ones. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We sometimes read the Christmas story, getting a lot of feedback. Okay. We a lot of times read the Christmas story, and we read it last night. And we read it so much during this time of the year that sometimes we get to the point where we just really kind of read through the motion or kind of go through it, and it begins to lose a little bit of its meaning for us. So this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. In some of my research, you all have heard me talk about Dr. Talbert's book, Reading Luke. That's one of my favorites and a staple this week. There's also another book I've discovered recently, which was very helpful. It's very insightful. It's one of those books that I could have just made the whole sermon based on information I received in here. It's called Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. And what it does is it takes you culturally back to first century Palestine and puts things in context there. It really is, it offers a great perspective on things. Also, Reverend Brian Bill has written some information about the topic of the shepherds, and he was very helpful as well. So we put all that together, and we came up with a reading from Luke chapter 2. Now, you know the story. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to be making reference back to it. And I started with this, and I found this survey that talked about which characters from the Christmas story most people identify with. So how about you? How many of you think it's Mary that most people identify with? Probably not, no. How about Joseph? The wise men? Seriously? No. anybody identify with Herod? We will have counseling afterwards for those that think they want to identify with Herod. Anyone think you rate with identifying with Jesus? Okay, there was equal counseling for that offer. So surprisingly, and not surprisingly, I guess, the shepherds came out on top by a large margin. Now, the title of today's sermon should have given that away for you, okay? Now they all look down. What is the title of today's sermon? Christmas Through the Eyes of the Shepherd. I remember when I was in kindergarten, we had this Christmas pageant when there was this groundswell movement by some of the boys, including myself, to be mountains. We wanted to be mountains in the Christmas story. Any guesses why? We had to sing this song that was part of the pageant. We had to sing this song, Angels We've Heard on High. Go through the lyrics quickly. We've heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain. And the mountains in, we had plenty of replies. Yeah, so we said, okay, we're going to be mountains. But regardless of the preference of a few overly creative mountain boys, the results of the survey still stand. Shepherds are the most identifiable with, which really makes sense if you consider the alternatives. But most of us have become pretty comfortable, as we said, with the Christmas story, and some of it perhaps too comfortable. Perhaps too comfortable. Some have sentimentalized it so much that it just kind of becomes superficial. Others are distracted by counting down the days, the shopping days to Christmas. Others are stressed out, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And so the process of all of this, you mix all of it together, and we neglect the nativity, the journey to the nativity. Reminds me of the little girl who misquoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. Yeah. Yeah. But isn't it interesting that God chose to bring this message, the message of the birth of his son, to shepherds? In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it doesn't tell us a whole lot about who they were, really. It just says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. That's what they did. That's what shepherds did. They lived in the fields. And throughout the history of Israel, the shepherding was a somewhat noble profession. Abel was the first to have the job, as we remember, followed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and, of course, David. God calls himself a shepherd, and we're said to be his sheep, right? Okay. But by the time of the first century, by the time of the nativity story, shepherding had lost a lot of its luster, lost a lot of people respecting and thinking good about shepherds. They by the first century, they'd kind of become the lower class. So low, in fact, they came in just ahead of lepers. No kidding. No kidding. In the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insights from the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, we read these words, quote, no help is to be given to heathen or shepherds. Man, rough crowd. rough crowd, man. And to fully understand how unusual it was to have the heavenly host appear before these lowly shepherds, let's dig a little bit more. I did, and here's what I uncovered. Shepherds in the first century were considered ceremonially unclean. What that means is because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend religious services. So therefore, they were unclean. Kind of like the lepers, you know, they had to ring the little bell. You know, shepherds were isolated. They were forgotten. Because their flocks needed to move around to find fresh grass and new water, they never really stayed in one place for too long. Shepherds were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing from others and would often confuse thine with mine. And their testimony was never allowed in court because they were thought to be unreliable. Shepherds were known to be brash and bold. Living out in the fields away from society made them unappealing to many people. Most of them had pretty rough mouth, and they were quick to fight. Much of that was survival instinct with wild animals and everything else going around. So if you look at these guys and you try to wrap your mind around the fact that God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of misfit shepherds. Actually, though, really isn't all that unusual, is it? No, you see, God has always worked wonders for the forgotten, for the despised, for the lowly. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible, who felt outcast, and were humble. Matthew 9, verses 12 and 13, Jesus is talking. He said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus reached out to sinners like Zacchaeus, Levi. He reached out to prostitutes. He reached out to the demon-possessed. He reached out to the strangers and lepers and Samaritans. Jesus did in his ministry what the Father did in a borrowed stable. Mary captured the glory of all of this in her song recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 52. When she says, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things so that no one may boast before him." It doesn't say, "Now there were in the same region scribes keeping watch over their scrolls." No, he chose the lowly. The Lord comes to the lowly. The most undeserving. He comes to the neglected, the marginalized in society in order to show his compassion and to show his power. You see, the shepherds help us to see that God has a message for sinners just like us. God wants us to know that everyone matters. And the only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcast. And as we briefly look at the shepherd's response, I think we'll find just a few lessons that we can take with us on this Christmas day about what it means not to forget the Son, S-O-N. The first thing I think we'll learn from the shepherds is that they were very attentive. They were attentive. First thing we find out about them is that they were attentive to their jobs in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night." Not only did they work third shift, they worked first and second shift also. It was 24-7. Shepherds were in the fields doing their job. It was often the case they would bring different flocks together at nighttime. They would all come together in the same fold, and one of the shepherds would actually lie down in the opening and serve as the gate so none of the sheep would leave, or that they would have an alert if predators came by. That kind of takes on a whole new meaning as you read John chapter 10 when Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." You see, God came to those who were attentive to the jobs that they had been given to do in life. He met them right where they were, just as He does with us today. Heaven chooses to bring a message to those who were messed up, to the low achievers, as well as to the high achievers. You were created in the image of God as an original masterpiece, and the signature of the Creator is inscribed on your soul, even as you are attentive to the circumstances life has placed you in. The second thing about the shepherds is that they were in awe. They were awed. While they were being attentive to the responsibilities they were given, they were suddenly awed by this angelic announcement in verse 9. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." They were terrified. The King James Version says, "And they were sore afraid." They were sore afraid. They were frightened. They were terrified. And you see, God meets us where we are, but then oftentimes He brings us to our knees. The glory of God lit up the sky and caused them literally to shake in their sandals. And when we come face to face with God's holiness, that often happens. We quake because of our sinfulness. We see this natural response all through Scripture. Just about every time God encounters man or an angelic being, it says they were terrified, they were afraid. Or the first message from the angel is, "Do not be afraid," or "Peace, peace be with you." Because the natural response is to be in awe of God. They could have been terrified because they didn't know if this was an angel of judgment. Perhaps some of the things they'd done in the past, you know, some of the payback, you know, the angels there to vaporize them. They didn't know. But whatever the case may have been, they were in awe. And it probably would have taken a lot for these tough guys to be terrified. Think about the life they lived. But they were terrified. They were in awe. And I wonder, when's the last time that we were truly in awe? Do you marvel at the Messiah? Has it been a while since you hit your knees before Him? Third thing that I learned from the shepherds is that they were accepted. You see, the attentive shepherds were filled with awe, and now they accept the message of good news of great joy. They accepted the message. Because they were accepted as recipients, they accepted the message in verses 10 through 15. And it says in part, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" The angel calms him down, telling him he's bringing good news of acceptance, of forgiveness, and of hope. And we would have a lot to fear if Christmas never happened, wouldn't we? We would. But the good news is of great joy. The good news of great joy. The Greek word here is mega, which means exceedingly, large, loud, mighty. It's the superlative of greatest degree. Great joy. This message is for all people. But I want you to notice the word "you" in the phrase, "I bring you." I bring you. Because the message is for the whole world, but it also has to be deeply personal. After getting some more specifics, a whole regiment of rejoicing angels fills the sky, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." We know that they accepted this message because in verse 15, we read, they said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. Which leads to the fourth thing, the fourth response of the shepherds, and that is the fact that they acted. They acted on what had happened. They didn't just accept and enjoy the message that they received. They acted upon it. In verse 16, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. The phrase hurried off means they left in haste. It's like they said, come on guys, let's go. And they left. Which is pretty amazing in and of itself because shepherds did not hurry a lot. They had this kind of wandered through. Unless there was a crisis, they kind of took things pretty easy. They could have doubted. They could have delayed. But they hurried off. They acted upon what they had experienced. Notice a couple things about this. They went and they saw. They went to Bethlehem. They wanted to see the baby with their own eyes. Check out the irony of that, though. You know, these unclean, ceremonially and probably physically speaking, these unclean shepherds came to a smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying in a bed of hay. A lot of commentators have pointed out the very real possibility that they were taking care of sheep when they were on the mountainside. They were taking care of sheep that were probably going to be sacrificed in Jerusalem's temple. If that was the case, it would have been no accident that they leave their sheep behind to visit the Lamb of God. A millennium earlier, David probably watched over his father's sheep somewhere in this same territory. So they went and they saw. They left and they shared. Pretty striking. They don't pull up a bale of straw and kind of make themselves comfortable. They didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they were now managers of the message. Notice that the message they shared had nothing to do with seeing these amazing angels. There's no reference to Mary's beauty or Joseph's job. They came to see Jesus. And now they head out to tell the good news. Look at verse 17 if you have your Bible open. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They spread the word. The word spread here, the translation literally means make known in such a way that people can understand. Yeah, that's a long translation for a short word. I get that. It's if a spread means to make known in such a way that people can understand. We are here today because they couldn't keep quiet. And that's a glorious thing. We are here because the shepherds could not keep quiet. No one could keep quiet when they experienced the glory of God in His Son. And so it makes me wonder, in what area is God calling us to action? It's not enough just to say that you have faith. Or to feel good about something, there comes a time that after seeing, experiencing Christ, we must be involved in sharing that. It's a natural response. The fifth thing I want us to notice about the shepherds is also a natural response, and that is the fact that they adored him. What's cool here is that the shepherds went back to their same boring job. But they weren't the same on the inside. They were not the same people when they went back to their job. They returned to where they had started and they were attentive again. Notice they didn't write a book. They didn't go on to a speaking tour or launch a ministry called The Shepherd Story. They didn't do any of that stuff. After Christmas, we returned to the same routine. But now we can do so with rejoicing. We return to work attentive. We return to our families attentive, but we're not the same people. We should not be the same when we leave here today as when we came in. Having experienced God, we should not be the same. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They didn't just wonder about what they saw. They worshiped him whom they saw. I believe a clear evidence of conversion is always adoration. I've heard it said that many of us worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. Yeah. Let me challenge you this year, not just today, not just in the days and weeks to come, but this year of your life. Adore Emmanuel, God with us. Adore him. Adore him. Praise him. Glorify him for all that you see and hear of his goodness, his mercy, his love, his peace, his joy, and his hope. You see, you can return to the same place tomorrow, but not as the same person. So, do you want to take on the role of the shepherds, or just play the part of an unmovable mountain? What role do you want to play in the story? The shepherds were changed forever by what they saw, and you can be too, if you will follow their example. Be attentive to what God has called you to do. Be awed by God's message to you. Accept the gift of good news personally. Accept it. Then act on what you know to be true from that message. And adore Emmanuel. Adore him 24/7. And all of God's people said, amen.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no lowly shepherds at his birth. Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay. Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Oh, 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 oh. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. This is such a strange way to save the world. This is such a strange way. A strange way. A strange way to save the
It says invitation to response. I don't issue that invitation. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. I just give you an opportunity to respond. So if you've experienced something, if you've experienced God leading you in a direction in your life this morning and you want to publicly respond, you can do that as we stand and sing in just a moment. It could be that you're not a believer, or that maybe you are and you've recently accepted Christ and you want to make that public. It could be that maybe you've come to the point in your life where you really want to be serious about your relationship instead of just being Savior, that he can be now Lord of your life. It may be that you'd like to join this fellowship. They're awesome people, I got to tell you. They're awesome people. Whatever your decision is, we stand and sing. I invite you to make that public.
Oh,
remind you that next week we will be, next Sunday morning, we'll be in Smith Hall. The service will be put together similar to what you've experienced this morning, kind of a blending of different types of elements. And so don't be scared off just because it's in Smith Hall. Come on and worship with us. Be here early. Country ham biscuits. That's all I'm saying. Be here early. Come join with us in there. I want to say a thank you to the band and to Barry, because it's difficult to bring amplified music into a sanctuary and try to keep it at a volume that doesn't offend. And we put Barry on the spot a lot of times, but Barry, you're a champ, buddy. We appreciate you. We really do. And to the band, thank you for your patience and trying to work it out to where it works well in here. So come be with us next Sunday morning in Smith Hall. Have a great week. I invite you to remain standing for our benediction. And then Mary, I think, is going to send us out in a response. We're all singing.
We're all singing.
We're all singing, okay? So there's a hint. You're all singing here. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, what we've experienced in worship. We thank you most for your Son, Jesus Christ, which gives us the hope and peace and the joy and the love that carries us through. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.